Today's Survivor Exit Interview podcast is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support the podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/RHAP. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we're back for our latest Survivor Exit interview. And this should be a good one today because the person voted out at the final six is none other than Mr. John Misch, somebody who was a key player down the stretch. A lot of people, Stephen Fishback included, felt like he was getting the proverbial winner's edit and was going to be the winner of Survivor San Juan del Sur. Instead, he is talking to me today. So talk about a fall from grace to go from being the winner of the season to talking to the Rob that sucks on the Survivor Exit interview. So we will bring John in just a minute. Of course, very fun episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls. A lot of discussion about the wager that Stephen and I had made a couple of weeks ago. A lot of talk about Natalie's stroke of genius last night. So if you're interested in hearing more about the episode and you haven't checked out Survivor Know-It-Alls from last night, really, really fun episode last night. And I'm getting ready for after the exit interview today. I'm going to be speaking with the young lad. Spencer Bledsoe is going to join me on the final regular season recap podcast of Survivor San Juan del Sur. That's going to be in just a little bit. So make sure you, if you have questions, post them on our Facebook page at facebook.com/RobIsAPodcast. Or if you want to get your voicemail questions, it's going to be Spencer with me the whole show. Facebook questions, and then we'll take your voicemails. Get those voicemails in at robisawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. So we're going to bring John Misch in. Then we're going to talk about this week in Survivor history. We'll talk about what was going on Survivor during this week in a previous year with Jordan. So that's coming up after this. But first, let's get into our conversation with John Misch. I see we have him on the line. John, are you there?
Hi, Rob. How's it going?
John, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Can't complain.
Yeah, hanging in there. All right, John, before we get to talking Survivor, I just wanted to know if you can give us an update on how is everything going with your dad?
Oh, thank you for asking. That's very kind of you. He's doing very well. He's fighting like crazy. Unfortunately, it's kind of a, it's too serious to be cured.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of just enjoying our time with him, but that being said, he is fighting. He is doing great. He's seems like his normal self, which is it's a huge accomplishment at this point.
My dad passed away 3 years ago this week, so oh. I definitely can empathize with what what that's must be like to go through. So thank you for taking time to talk with us about Survivor. You were such a key cog down the stretch, John. Is this what you envisioned coming into Survivor?
You mean, did I think I was going to make it that far?
No, I mean that you guys were basically every single vote, it seemed like, after the merge was hinging on what you guys were going to do.
Yeah, Jacqueline and I thought we were going to be the first people voted out. I thought that people were going to see me as a physical threat. Anyways, Jacqueline and I didn't think that we were going to make it far at all. Being the swing vote so many times, I've heard so many people say, you know, that it was luck and it wasn't strategy, but they don't really realize that it's not like people were just like, oh, I'm going to choose somebody to talk to and John and Jacqueline again, you know, oh yeah, well, why not again? Why not again? I mean, that's not exactly what was going on. It's more that the other people that were in our alliance weren't keeping themselves as approachable. They weren't keeping those friendships with the other alliance. They weren't talking with them. And that other alliance, I mean, you can't go up to Jeremy and talk about flipping on his own alliance. And you mm-hmm. can't go up to Natalie because she's way too close with Jeremy. And she wasn't really keeping friendships with the other alliance anyways. And Missy and Baylor were shunning the other alliance. So, I mean, we were actively trying to stay in a position where if somebody was going to give another person a shot or whatever, they'd come up to us and say, hey, just so you know, Jeremy's planning on getting you out. Come help us out. Or hey, do you want to help us out here? I mean, that was very strategic.
Yeah, it's nice to have options on Survivor, and you guys did a good job of keeping those options open and not having everybody be pissed at you like we've seen a lot of times before in the past on Survivor when somebody is the swing vote.
Thank you for saying that.
Oh, wow. All right, well, John, let's keep going, because here's what I wanted about this week's vote. When you left Tribal Council, were you in possession of the hidden immunity idol?
I had one. It was actually in my bag. I should have pulled it out, obviously. But I left my bag with Jacqueline because it had like my my other clothes in it, like my sleeves and things like that. And I wanted her to have it to stay warm. So I left the bag with her. So she had it. But I mean, obviously, I would have had to give that to her before Tribal if she was going to be able to use it.
Okay, so even if she has the actual hidden immunity idol, if you didn't give it to her in the game, that's null and void.
Right, exactly. I would have had to give that before the votes were...
No, that's important, because we've debated that on the show of, could you just like have it on the floor and then whoever gets voted out, we talked about this with Keith and Wes, could somebody just pick it up and leave with it? So that's good to have that rules distinction. All right, so tell us, for the record, were you going to play the hidden immunity idol in the Tribal Council where Wes got voted out that you said you were going to? It looked like Natalie had to tell you. What was the true reason? Okay. We're outside of the game. A safe zone.
Yeah, this is exactly how it happened, okay? Before Tribal, my whole alliance was like, yeah, we're trusting Reed and Alec. I talked with Missy and Jacqueline, and I said, if we trust Reed and Alec tonight, I am going home. And they have no reason to do this. Like, this would be stupid for them to vote out one of their own alliance members. This isn't a strategy. So going into Tribal, I was very leery. Jacqueline was actually the first person to tell me, okay, you need to play your idol. Because when Keith said, Reed, stick to the plan, Jacqueline like immediately tapped me. Then she whispered to me, okay, you got to play your idol. That was initially what made me want to play my idol. I was leery about it, but Jacqueline saying play your idol was what made me want to do it. When Natalie said, dude, you got to play your idol, me saying, really? I was kind of shocked that she was jumping ship and getting on board with that, because she was one of the huge, she was the main person that was saying, yeah, we're going to trust them. And come to find out, it was because she was initially planning on voting me out as well on that one, but she ended up switching it up when Keith gave it away. Anyways, that was Jacqueline that told me to play it. They did not show that.
Okay.
And then when Jacqueline and I got in an argument, I was trying to say, just don't give Natalie the credit. You should be taking the credit and give me a little bit, because I was also leery, but they didn't show that.
Okay. Can you take us through your plan of what you guys wanted to do ultimately in the final five and in the final three? Because we saw a lot of it from Natalie's perspective of what she wants to do, but it was never quite clear on the show what you guys were planning once you got past this vote.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, at the tribe swap, Missy, me, Jacqueline, and Baylor all kind of talked about how things were going to go. And our plans were to get down to our five, and then Jacqueline and Baylor had volunteered to kind of sacrifice themselves for Missy and I, and allow Missy, me, and Natalie to be in the final three. So that was our plan. Basically, Baylor and Jacqueline were going to fall on the sword and kind of give it to Missy and I, because we were the ones that between Jacqueline and I would get the votes, and between Missy and Baylor, Missy would get the votes.
Yeah. Why would Natalie not want to do that? Was she worried that you were the bigger threat in the jury?
I'm not sure if it was her thinking I was a threat or if it was still her being vindictive about me voting Jeremy out. I didn't realize how big of a connection she had with Jeremy. And once I saw her actually refer to him as her designated twinnie, I kind of realized, I didn't see that when I was out there. If I would have heard that while I was out there, I would have known, okay, look, Natalie's not in my plans anymore because I voted out her designated twinnie. So since I didn't see that, I was completely oblivious to any plans that she had to get me out.
So did you have any intention of doing anything with Alec, that which was Natalie's fear over the last couple episodes?
Yeah, I did. I was talking with Alec actually ever since the merge. I was talking to him about how, look, you're more in my plans than you think you are, but I can't really, like, I didn't want to trust him to the point of saying, hey, I'm going to be using you, because then he could just go to my alliance and say, hey, yeah, John wants this and yada, yada, yada. But I was telling him that I wanted to work with him. So Natalie actually kind of sniffed that out. That was a very good, very good play by Natalie. I'm not exactly sure what my play would have been. I was more keeping him there as a scapegoat. If I did sense something and say, okay, then now I got Alec, he's still with me. But I'm not 100% sure if I would have ended up doing something with Alec. It was kind of just my security clause.
All right, so did you feel like that there was some extra salt in the wound last night, that you gave up your reward, and you love to eat, we know this, and you gave up your reward to Baylor so she could have spa food, and then she went right back to trying to figure out how to vote you out? It was a salty situation.
I was not mad about it at all. I mean, I did the same thing to Jeremy, and I didn't expect him to be salty about it,
because
we're playing a game. You
took it very well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
That was good. That was better than I would take it.
Yeah, it's just, you sign up to get blindsided. You sign up to be part of blindsides. And if you're going to be the person that's going to hold it against everyone, you're kind of the biggest hypocrite of the group, you know? So that's why, I mean, I was being a hypocrite for a while, because I was kind of holding it against Missy. And then watching the episode, realizing how hard it was for Missy, I thought Missy and I had this great friendship that went beyond Survivor and all this BS. And I kind of took it very personally until I watched the episode. And now I see how hard it was for her. And I'm kind of like, wow, who's the hypocrite? I am. But
yeah, because you said I forget if it was either in your final words or in your Ponderosa video, that you felt like that Missy took advantage of some shared faith that you guys had, and that you guys built a trust, and you had felt betrayed by Missy.
Yeah, and the reason there wasn't so much just because we were like friends. She and I had a very spiritual relationship. Like, very often we would talk scripture, we would talk about God, and how me putting my trust in her was putting my trust in a faithful relationship, whereas putting my trust in anybody else would just be kind of putting your faith in lies. And she made me believe that. I think she believed that too, though. I don't think she was just feeding that to me. I think that was something that she wanted to, I mean, from watching the episode, I can see that that's something that she wanted to believe and wanted to do. Unfortunately, this being a blood versus water season, and her daughter not being on that train makes it a little complicated, and she has to support her family before she supports me, you know?
Yeah. And since the show, you and Jacqueline have gotten engaged now. Congratulations, correct?
Thank you so much. Yes, we have.
And so how has playing Survivor together changed your relationship, if in any way?
You know, I don't think I can say it's really changed. I would definitely say that it made us realize how good we were at communicating, and how much talking through things really helps. And so I think that we do things better now in terms of, like, yeah, like, we had to talk about everything while we were out there. And if we didn't, like, we wouldn't be on the same page. So we bring that into our lives now. But I wouldn't necessarily say that it's changed things. It's just kind of made us work even better together.
All right. Well, John, thank you so much for coming on with me. You're taking all of this so well. Going on Survivor agrees with you. It makes me cranky. But you're taking it so well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that.
All right. Well, all the best.
It is hard, though.
Yeah, all the best to you and Jacqueline, and we'll see you guys at the finale, okay?
Thanks, Rob. Looking forward to it.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was John Misch here on Rob Has a Podcast. All right, let's segue now and get into the Survivor Time Machine and talk about what was going on this week in Survivor history, heading into the second week here in December of 2014. Let's go and visit another second week in December in Survivor history, and let's bring in our good friend Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How's it going?
Very excited to talk with you, Jordan, about this week in Survivor history. Of course, sponsored by our friends over at Nature Box. Are you pumped up for another week of Survivor history?
Oh, yeah. Very pumped up.
So, Jordan, I'm very excited to have you back. We actually missed a week of this week in Survivor history.
Yes, you know what? 2 weeks ago, we had the Johnny Fairplay dead grandmother lie. And I think after that, we all needed a little bit of a break because that was too huge of a moment. So we are coming back now with another big moment in Survivor history. And this is actually going to be one of my favorite episodes in the history of Survivor.
Oh, good. Because I'm very excited that you're back. And everybody loves the This Week in Survivor History segment that we actually have some musical production intro for this segment.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yes. Okay. So here we go. Let's officially kick off the This Week in Survivor History segment.
This Week in Survivor History with your host, Jordan Kalish.
What do you think of that, Jordan? What do you think of that production value?
I think it gets a 10 for production value, and I think it gets a 1 for pronunciation of my name, but that's awesome.
What do you mean? What do you mean? They didn't get it right in the intro? Hold on.
This Week in Survivor History with your host, Jordan Kalish.
Jordan Kalish, right?
It is actually Kalish and the...
Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed.
Yes, the first syllable of my name rhymes with bay. So that's an easy way to remember it.
Okay, rhymes with bay, like as in...
Love you, bay.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Well, let me speak with the person that created this, one of our listeners, good friend of the podcast, Ryan Elder. He's a composer, and he worked on that for us. And so let me go back to the drawing board, and let me speak to Ryan, and I'll talk with him and see if we can get it fixed for next week's show.
All right, sounds good. He did a great job, though. I like the voice in the background. It's very good.
It's almost there. All right, so let me give him notes, and then we'll try to fix that for next week.
Awesome.
All right, so before we get to This Week in Survivor History, we want to tell you about our sponsor for this segment, Nature Box. They've got free snacks for you over there at Nature Box. They are going to give you a chance to get some free snacks, spa food, that some people would even call it.
Yeah, you know what? I love going to the spa and eating the dark chocolate almonds and the peanut butter nom-noms.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah, not goobers. No. Put down the candy bar, drop the potato chips. They're not good for you. Do what I do. Get delicious, wholesome snacks at naturebox.com. Naturebox gives me plenty of snacks, delicious snacks, and I don't feel guilty about eating them because they're better for me. They've got zero artificial flavors, colors, sweeteners, no grams of trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup, and you'll even find snacks without added sugar and without gluten. We'd blindside the gluten if we could.
Mm-hmm. And you can't say that about cookies, brownies, all the fixins.
Or muffins, yeah.
Or muffins, no.
That's right.
Or bagels.
Yeah. In the afternoon slump, when I'm hungry and irritable, and that's quite often, here's what I do. Grab some peanut butter nom noms from Nature Box, or baked sweet potato fries, or the dark cocoa almonds. So good and so much better for you than other snack options. So we're giving you the chance to get some free Nature Box with a trial box featuring 5 of their most popular snacks. You could gift this as well. You heard us. Free snacks. Start your free trial. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Stay full, stay strong, do what I do, and snack smart. Go to naturebox.com/RJP for your free trial box of delicious snacks. All right, Jordan, what do you have here for us on the docket?
All right, we're going all the way back to Survivor Vanuatu. This is December 9th, 2004. Now, we
10
actually
years.
Have,
it yes, was 10, 10 years ago 10 on years a week ago. Just like this.
Yes, 10 years ago this Tuesday. And this is actually, we're going to be talking about the finale episode of Survivor Vanuatu. But this December 9th episode is actually the episode before the finale that I'm going to touch on really quick. This is where Chris makes the decision. Chris Daughtry, not the singer of the Utopia theme song. Chris Daughtry, the right. winner of Survivor Vanuatu. He decides to go along with Twyla and Scout. He voted out Julie Berry, who would go along to date Jeff Probst. And this made Eliza really mad because she thought she was going to go to the final three with Chris and Julie.
Yes. So he had two options to go to. He was really the swing vote there at final five. So he goes with them and he basically had the two younger women in Eliza and Julie Berry thinking he was going with them.
All right. So, yes, Chris decided to vote out Julie. And this was... Eliza was very angry about this, and because she thought she was going to the end with Julie and Chris, but no, Chris decides to vote out Julie, even though they had supposedly like a brother-sister relationship. But I think for Chris, it was more about the game. For Julie, it was more about the personal relationships that they had had. So yeah. This brings us in to December 12th, 2004, 10 years ago this Friday, and this is the finale episode. So now we have the final four. We have Eliza, we have Chris, we have Scout and Twyla. And the episode actually starts with Twyla yelling at Eliza after Tribal Council for not deserving to be in the game. And this is kind of a theme throughout the season where Eliza and Twyla got in all these fights. And if you're in Chris's spot now, you have a player who is berating someone who might be on the jury. How do you not take her to the final two at this point?
Yeah, so Twyla was a great person to go to the end with. She had lots of enemies at this point, and right. Certainly they were very mean to Eliza.
Uh-huh.
I rewatched Vanuatu over the summer, and they were very mean to Eliza.
Yes, they were, especially Twyla, but even Scout to a certain extent, and Amy and Leanne, they did not like her. They just saw her really as a number. But Chris was the one who was actually very nice to Eliza. And he was so nice to Eliza after he had just blindsided Julie that Eliza thought everything was cool. She thought she even said she's so confident that she's going to put all her trust in Chris. So she
not a good idea.
Not a good idea to put your trust in Chris, because Chris is a gamer. Chris played this game very, very well. And I think these last two episodes are one of the best end game performances I've ever seen in Survivor history.
That's a very good job.
Chris wins the final immunity challenge. And Eliza even has a confessional where she says, if I couldn't win immunity, I'm happy Chris did, because he's my alliance and we're going to the final two. And then Chris proceeds to vote with Twyla and Scout. They vote out Eliza. And Eliza gives Chris the stare down. And this is one of the great faces that Eliza will make in her history as a Survivor player.
Yeah, because Chris has immunity. He can't lose, right?
No, Chris has immunity, and he goes with the majority and votes out Eliza.
Yeah. Oh, poor Eliza.
Yep. I'm a big Eliza fan. I think she's a very entertaining player. But
so why do you want to flash back to her demise here?
Because I'm a bigger Chris fan, and I just love the way that Chris played this. He had everyone feeding into his bullshit, but he's able to go after he votes out Eliza. He votes out Scout. He wins the final three immunity. Scout's out of the game. So now we're at the final Tribal Council. But before we get to this point, do you remember what Chris did, a conversation that Chris and Twyla had about how she should perform at the final Tribal Council?
Yeah, he like tells her like, hey, Twyla, we got to make sure nobody, I'm doing terrible Chris impression. We got to make sure that if anybody's giving us any flack, any giving us any lip, we got to shut it down right away. And she's like, oh yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. And then basically he didn't do that at all.
Chris, it's very similar to the bait Blake strategy that Brian Corridan talked about from Survivor Guatemala, where he baited Blake into telling all these annoying stories. Chris uses the bait Twyla and baits her into berating the jury, which is not a very good idea if you're in the final Tribal Council. And this strategy works because Eliza, who at least she said going into Tribal Council that she didn't know who she was going to vote for. Eliza asks for an apology. She calls both Chris and Twyla deceptive lying bitches. Twyla does not give her the apology she's looking for. She berates her and calls her a spoiled, rotten little child.
Yeah.
So
sounds about right.
Yeah. Not a great move, right? If you're in the final two.
Not ideal jury management.
No, definitely not. And I actually recently listened to the podcast you did this summer about the 15 most asked jury questions. And I don't think that this was the right answer that you'd want to hear in this situation.
Definitely not. All right. And so it also means that it was 10 years ago this weekend that Johnny Fairplay was booted out of the Survivor Vanuatu finale when he tried to get into a fight with Jeff Probst's brother.
Ah, I didn't know about that.
Yes.
Were you at the finale?
I was there. I was there in person. I was in the building that night.
Wow.
And I saw Jimmy Johnson, future Survivor, hanging out there.
That's foreshadowing. Survivor foreshadowing.
It's like, Jimmy Johnson, what are you doing here? He's like, I love Survivor.
Yeah. Did Jimmy Johnson, was he a Chris fan? I can see him as a Chris.
I don't remember. I don't remember what we were talking about. But yeah, it was a wild night. Yeah.
Oh, man. Gotta love Fairplay, right?
You have to.
Yes. So back to this final tribal council. Just some more crazy things that happened during the questioning. Julie asks a question, and again, basically looking for an apology. Chris gives it to her, says exactly what he needs to say. He has the famous line, "I did you wrong, Jules." He gets her vote. Twyla proceeds during Leanne's question to say for no reason that she never trusted Amy. And Amy actually voted for her. But there was no reason for her to just blatantly say, "I never trusted Amy," because Amy thought that, you know, she and, you know, Twyla voted her out, but she thought that that she and Twyla were cool. So really mismanaged by Twyla, and a really great job, perfect job by Chris in this final. And in his closing statement, gives one, they haven't done the closing statement in a long time, but gives a great closing statement, addresses every jury member individually, saying, "We're all friends. The most important thing is that we're friends after this game. I did what I had to do," and he wins the game. He gets 5 out of 7 votes.
Great job by Chris, and great job by Jordan on This Week in Survivor History.
This Week in Survivor History with your host, Jordan Kalish.
All right. Fantastic job, Jordan. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm starting to buy into the Kalish pronunciation.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah. I could start using it as my professional name.
That's your stage name. Exactly. All right, Jordan, thanks so much. And happy Chris winning Vanuatu anniversary.
Yes, it was a great one to talk about. I love this episode.
All right. Follow Jordan on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. Make sure you pronounce it correctly on Twitter.
And all my Twitter followers are real. I haven't gotten any sites to get bot followers.
Good, good. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Follow Friday is coming up as well. So make sure you're on board. All right, Jordan, take care. All right, buddy. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was This Week in Survivor History. So once again, great job by Jordan. And thanks again to Ryan Elder for creating the intro to the This Week in Survivor History segment. I'll have to send him my notes on making sure we get that right for the next time around. All right, so I'm going to go get set to talk to Spencer. Very excited for that. I think that's going to be a really, really fun show coming on the heels of one of the best shows we probably ever done, the Tyson cast from last week. So this is a fun way to end the season with Spencer. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments about the John Mish interview, as always. And thanks again to everybody who's been doing their holiday shopping using our Amazon links at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Plenty of good deals still left to be had, and plenty of shipping time left before the holidays are here. So have a good Thursday, everybody. I'll be back with Spencer in the next podcast, and take care, everybody. Bye. All right, and now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting, wholesome snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.